Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Well, I'm in Glenn Ordway's chair, so he's like 5'2". I'm 6'5", so I don't know if there's any way that I can like sort of lower myself to be his.
Hand emoji.
You never heard my sexy voice on the air before.
What's this mean?
Hey, moron. Hey, idiot. Hey, dumbass.
Pursuing you as if you were the Heisman Trophy. Trophy emoji.
With well. I am Mark James.
And Bradfo Show.
Dude, let me tell you something. I'm no doctor, and I don't play one on TV or the radio.
Network TV.
Like, you see the text, right?
Yeah, no.
And I am Mark James. That's Mark with a C, James.
Some guys can do it and some guys can't.
This is the greatest lineup ever assembled. Why? What are you doing?
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, this is OMF, and he's Rob Bradford, and I am Mark with a C, James. Bradfo Show, always good to talk to. Always good to see you. It really, by the way, what are you down, 63 pounds now?
No. Oh. I'm staying solid. I don't want to be emaciated.
Okay.
I am solid 50.
Yeah.
Now it's marathon training. Now it's all about reaching full muscle capacity. This is about toning.
Okay.
I am not. I looked at Tom Brady. So you looked at the Tom Brady photo? No. You looked.
Oh, yeah. He's a little doughy recently.
And I honestly think, hey, you know what? If he, having eaten better and lost some weight, like clearly he is not living up to his cookbook or whatever he has.
Yeah.
Well, when you see that picture,
yeah,
it's not, I'm not fat shaming him. I'm sure he can throw a football. I'm sure TB12 is, they're doing the pliability thing and everything else. But like a lot of people, you're like, yeah, that's Tom Brady. That's the guy who's telling me to eat kale.
He sounded, it kind of looks like he went back to his 2000 NFL draft combine photo. You remember that one?
Oh, no, he's worse than that.
Oh. And he's worse than that now?
Well, in fairness, it's 20 years later. I mean, we have to be realistic. I think the problem is that you have a guy, yeah, sure, you're over 40, and you look good for a guy over 40.
Great. He looks great.
Okay, easy.
Well, no, I mean, like, he does look great. Listen, oh, besides,
he looks okay for a guy over 40, but for a guy who is telling me to how dare you ever, you can never, 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 never drink a 2-liter bottle of Coke.
Yeah.
You can never have Cocoa Puffs. There you go.
Yeah.
60 carbs right there. Right, but it's
20
it's,
ounce right here.
Yeah, but you can never, ever do any of these things. And this is the way you live your life. Then hey, it's an off-season for everybody, but there is no off-season for TB12. And then you have the tweet from TB12 yesterday, which was something to the effect of, you know, it's more important to have six rings than it is to have a six pack. Fair. But
I like that.
I hated it.
Why?
Because it's defensive. Like, what do you?
Wait. What's defensive about it?
Why is TB12 even responding?
That's true.
This is TB12 because their guy is getting some heat for looking a little pudgy. Like, don't worry about it. We get it. You're still pliable. People go there. They heal up. All of it. Don't be defensive about Tom Brady not having abs.
He responded to some jabroni on Instagram?
No, the TB12 did. Twitter account.
Yeah.
Which is basically, they responded, they linked to a men's health magazine story saying, you know, Tom Brady isn't just about looking good.
Right.
It's about feeling good and everything else. But they responded to it and they said it's better to have six rings than a six pack. What's wrong with both?
Yeah, I think when you're about to be 41 in a month or less,
you can still have a six pack.
You could still have a six pack, but right now, all people here care about is that he gets back to his MVP self like he was a year ago. And I don't think that there's going to be any issue
there.
But
Mark, the problem is that for everybody else, that's the case. But when you're getting on your soapbox as much as TB12 brand is, like, you have to have the advertisement. This is what he wants to do after his career, right? This is what we've been hearing for the last 2 years.
It's going to be his ultimate legacy post-football, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Fair. But when you're prioritizing that and when you're publicizing it so much, and then you have that picture, and maybe it was a bad angle, I don't know. But clearly it hit home for the TB12 people because they responded on Twitter. It's a bad look. It just is a bad look. You're right. I think he's a great quarterback. He'll be fine. He'll be able to throw the ball. He'll be as good as ever. But the TB12 getting defensive on Twitter last night, that was not a good
look. But I just wanted for clarification, that was not Tom Brady. It was TB12 official account. So through Alex Guerrero, we understand that. It was not TB12 himself. Now, I think people...
Himself? Not Tom Brady.
Yeah, it wasn't Tom Brady who tweeted...
He has to sign off on it.
From
the it's his company. When they're going to tweet something,
I think a lot
like
of people were more offended when the hippo thing came out after it was cleaning, and after Bay gets out of his shower, that whole bottom feeding. I think people were more offended about that.
I'm not offended by Tom Brady, being 10 pounds overweight. I'm not offended by that, but I'm not offended by this tweet, but it comes back to a bad, like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That shower thing.
You're right.
Bad look. Bad look.
It was a bad
look. Who cares? It doesn't make a difference. Right. Bad look. I think this is the worst look because we're sort of the mind of Tom Brady can do anything he wants. Good for him. He has a supermodel wife. Go get him, buddy. But when you're preaching like this, and now all of a sudden, and maybe all they have to do is say, hey, it was a bad shot. It was a bad angle. But when TB12 comes out and says it's more important to have six rings than six-pack abs, then that tells me that he doesn't have abs. That's not a bad shot. And that, his playing weight is 260 pounds. He can do it. He can be like, what's the guy from Kentucky?
Jared Lorenzen?
Jared Lorenzen.
The hefty lefty?
Pillsbury throw boy.
Tom Brady can be Jared Lorenzen.
Now, Rob, I think we're going a little bit. First of all, I was going to say training camp, but training camp's a week from yesterday. He's not going to get down by that time.
I don't know. You can do things.
He needs to do Awaken 180.
Awaken 180? You could eat a parasite? You can do all kinds of things, right?
Yeah. I think we just want Brady to get back to where he was when he left the field throwing for 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions against the Philadelphia Eagles. As long as he gets to that guy, and it's not going to be right from the jump. It's going to take a while to get to Super Bowl 52, Tom Brady. Brady wasn't the reason they lost Super Bowl. People can say, he fumbled, and yeah, that was because the O-line let him down. It wasn't Brady's fault. It is what it is. But I see what you're saying. He's a walking billboard for the TB12 pliability method.
I'm not – I got to be honest with you, Mark. I'm not as worked up over, the pitcher. And Lucy – as an innocent bystander of a purveyor of that pitcher, was he out of shape? Did that shock you, Lucy?
Not really, because his philosophy is not to be muscular. So he
come on.
See, Lucy's right. Lucy's so right on this one.
But is philosophy
he's got a
dad to be fat?
He's dad bod, exactly.
Dad bod.
Which is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing.
A little chunkier than you thought, though.
Maybe. But
that's
still,
not a dad bod.
I wasn't surprised.
That's not even a dad bod. The guy's in good shape.
Yeah. Sure. Okay, super. He's in good shape. Do you guys have a problem with the TB12 getting defensive about it? Because obviously he's not in the shape that TB12 is being – everybody at TB12 is saying, hey, you know what? This is what we're saying.
Don't you think they're
they got defensive over this tweet.
Don't you think they're being a little facetious, though?
No. You got to go look at the tweet. At all.
I mean –
because then they go on another paragraph about it. This is about pliability, blah, 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 blah. No, they're not. They were getting defensive. They linked to a Men's Health magazine because we can say what we want, and with all due respect to Lucy's fraudulent opinion about Tom Brady's.
Wait a second. I don't think it's fraudulent at all.
Tom Brady's continued physical well-being. We can say this, but it was Shannon Sharp. It was it was the national media who was all over him for this.
Well, if Shannon Sharp says it, then who am I to question?
No, obviously, he says a lot of moronic things,
right? Especially about New England. He hates Boston.
But I don't think that TB12, as powerful as this show is, I don't think TB12 is responding just if we say he looked out of shape in that picture. I think it was a product of he was catching heat across the nation.
Mm-hmm. So. You know what I care about, Rob? I care about week one, Houston Texans, Gillette Stadium. How is he going to be that day? That's all that really matters.
Well, all of the stuff is that way, right, though, Mark, isn't it?
I will say this, though. The one thing I will say more than that tweet that you're talking about, Brady's not had – this is probably the most – and when I say controversial, it's all relative. It's not like the guy went LeSean McCoy or anything like that. I think Brady's had a really weird offseason. It's just you know, with the Tom versus Time episode 6.
So he was eating his feelings is what you're saying.
Yeah, and then just not showing up to the voluntary OTAs and then hiding behind, well, they're voluntary. Listen, he had the same family he has now a year ago. He didn't add any new members to the family. So I think that was a little weird. But all I care about is ring number 6. That's all anybody cares about. Who cares about? He's going to be on with Kirk and Jerry coming up here, I believe, on August 13th every week. So that's all that really matters. I mean, you know, so what?
But But Mark, when you're put yourself out there and people, you're right, you speak for 99% of the Patriots following. But when you put yourself out there with this stuff, when Kirk and Jerry interviewed him about the Guerrero stuff initially and went on for 40 minutes and were very passionate about it. Once you do that and once you don't shy away from it, it's a conversation. You're right. But it's two different conversations. He's going to be a good quarterback, but we also have to look into, like, Guerrero. Hey, fraudulent concussion water stuff.
Yeah.
We can't just say Alex Guerrero is great at healing Gronk and he does a lot of great things, which he does. We can't just say that. We have to look at everything. And that's why whether it's this or whether it's the controversy with Brady and the Belichick stuff, I do feel like heading into this year, there is for Patriot fandom, there is more of a wary eye than ever before.
There is, and I'm glad you brought that up. But Greg Bedard just wrote from the Boston Sports Journal an article about how the internal strife between Brady, Belichick, and Kraft has not resolved. It's not been rectified, which to me, at this juncture on Friday, July 20th, with training camp less than a week away, I'm pretty shocked about that, that these guys haven't gotten on the same page yet, because I don't want this to go into the season and all of a sudden this becomes the thing that everybody's talking about, because, you know, Rob, next Thursday, the first day of training camp, those are going to be the questions. And obviously you can tell when Brady didn't have to show up to anything voluntary right after that mandatory minicamp was over. He was done. He's never really done this before, except when he had a birth of his child back in 2009 or 2010. So this is a little thing that, you know, that concerns me more than anything, to be honest with you, because I don't think the friction's ever been thicker between him and Belichick.
Yeah, but you really think that's going to be an issue? The only issue I look at that, like when you get into the season, I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think they're going to have the same relationship they always have. I think it's going to be an issue when it comes to how long he wants to play. And when you do have that conversation, don't you think, and we don't have to do a whole show on this, but Alex Guerrero is the heart of this. It remains the heart of it.
Yeah, Yoko Guerrero.
Yeah, and so but I didn't read Bedard's thing, but when you're talking about that relationship back and forth, that is, if Guerrero isn't there, we're business as usual, isn't it? Isn't it usual? Isn't this... Yeah. We think, isn't this in large part about you took away the office, you know, the training staff is overlapping with Guerrero and there's some controversy there. That's what it's about. Because what else could it be about? Yeah, he's played for Bill Belichick. He knows how Bill Belichick does his job.
Yeah, he does. And this all goes back to, we deduced this with Dale Arnold about a month ago, because Dale has a contact up at TB12. And we wanted to know, like, when did Alex Guerrero's access get completely abolished? And you go back to week 2 against the Saints. That's when Chris Hogan gets hurt and Guerrero runs onto the field.
That's my go-to. That's my go-to. Yeah,
and then they're like, and then the Patriots
Didn't run on the field. Guerrero was on the sidelines. Hogan gets hurt in the first half. And then they show Hogan walking off at halftime side by side with Guerrero.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
And yeah.
And the Patriots staff were like, WTF. And then that was it. I think after that point, Belichick came in and said, all right, you're not going to be on the sidelines. You're not going to be on the team plane. You know, you're not going to be able to rub Tom down at halftime and get, you know, you're not going to be able to do these things that you normally. And that, I totally believe that's where everything stems from. So it is what it is. 617-779-7937. There's a lot of things to get to. I got to tell you this right now. Let's acknowledge the 900-pound pink elephant in the room. I want to say congratulations to OMF.
Ooh.
Glenn Ordway.
Wow, a shot. Shot across the bow.
No. I'm just, they are moving afternoon drive.
Okay. Who are you calling 900-pound pink elephant?
Oh, no, but I'm just saying this is what what's no nobody. I'm not calling any.
I thought you were talking about physical characteristics.
No, not at all. No, I'm just congratulating them. They're moving.
I mean, we can't all be like Mutt Instagram model, right?
No, Mutt's in, you know, the guy's like got what, less than 2% body fat.
Well, when you get paid in protein powder, you can do that.
Right, exactly. So, so your thoughts? OMF moving to Afternoon Drive on August 13th. I think they will be successful going against the huge. Speaking of gorilla, 900-pound gorilla across the street or down in Dorchester, Felger. I think they're going to be very successful. I think it's a good move.
Well, I
for
think
them.
Both will yeah. be successful. Yep. I mean, this is one of the things. So much attention was on the 2-6, and rightfully so. It's an important part of the equation. But you know, you don't think that Dale and Keefe can't compete with Bertrand and Zolak? I mean,
of course
are you kidding
can.
Me? And this
compete,
is,
I expect them to win.
Yeah, well, of course. No, I mean, that's not what I meant, right. compete. I meant compete and win. And that's how I took the whole day yesterday. All right, you know, let's go regroup and say, you know, go kick their butt. I mean, that's what the message should be across the board. And I don't think that the weird thing is when you hear like Glenn say, oh, we get some ideas, we're gonna why? Wait, no ideas. That's okay. You know, you're good. You're a good show now.
Yep. Very entertaining. I listen to him. And despite Glenn Ordway, who had an unhealthy obsession with me.
Yeah, why do you hate Glenn?
I don't. That's the thing. I do not, personally, professionally, but he couldn't keep my name out of his mouth, so I had to respond the way
that I know. Why did it take you so long to do it, though? That was the other criticism.
Because I told people it was his shtick, and he's this, that, and the other, so that's why I eventually...
Then you just got to the boiling point.
I got to the break. Every man has... Did you ever see the movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas?
I sure did, yeah.
Right. You know, it's 10:31, they won't serve him breakfast. Mm-hmm. It was 10:38, they wouldn't serve me breakfast.
Only one person's allowed with a handgun in here, that's Kurt Schilling. So.
Oh, okay. Can I call him a bitch?
Yes. So congratulations to them, and listen, I think Dale and Keefe will be successful in middays as well.
Did you hear
Ordway laughing.
Is he choking? Is he choking on his teeth? What's going on?
That's Glenn laughing.
Oh, okay. Did you hear the Dale and Keefe beginning of the show yesterday?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts were they should, you know, listen, if you're not proud of what you do, and both of those guys are, and listen, Dale Arnold started this radio station along with Glenn Ordway on September 2nd, 1991. So Dale Arnold is Boston Sports Talk Radio along with Glenn Ordway. They should be pissed off.
Don't do that, though.
What?
I mean,
they should be pissed off.
No, I hear you. I hear you about being pissed off. The thing that I don't like, I don't like doing like, we were so great, we were so great, we were so great.
Right.
I hate that.
Okay, fair enough. But they should be mad. But now you have to take it as a challenge that, I mean, listen, we all read Chad Finn's column. You want to talk about 900-pound pink elephant in the room. You saw what was going on in the afternoon, and you're getting doubled. So that's why you got to send in, you know, and I think, I not only think Ordway, Maloney, and Fourier are going to compete, I think eventually, slow build, they will eventually be able to knock off his former protege, who he helped start in radio.
And I also feel like we can start going after them a little bit more, as I did with the scally-capped wonder, you know, Jim Murray.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Nothing. It was nothing. I said that I didn't even mention his name.
No,
I
mean, you didn't.
No.
He came after you first,
it
right?
It was weird. It was, but yeah, no, I said that show sucked. The 6 o'clock show, the baseball reporters.
Right. You call it the baseball observers.
Baseball observers, yeah. Right. I mean, And people here spun that around like, you don't need to be in the clubhouse. That's not what I was saying. I say, if you're going to have a show that's named the Baseball Reporters, like, you should be criticized, because it's fine if you have a baseball show and you talk about baseball, but don't call it a Baseball Reporters, because one of the guy who was on it was a baseball reporter 8 years ago.
Shut up, nerd.
Yes.
So it's the last time he was in a clubhouse, basically,
yes,
what you're saying.
Yeah, but okay. You don't have to be, obviously you don't have to be in the clubhouse if you're a radio guy. Like, obviously. But if you're going to have a base show called the Baseball Reporters, then you have to, you. That's a fraudulent name. You're misleading your listeners. And then I think the show sucks. So
that goes unnoticed.
Yeah, so I think – so I said as much. I didn't even mention his name. But what was great about it was, oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Right? Oh, you know, you've been on radio
They
enough.
Mentioned it on Felger
and
Mazz.
Right. And Felger and Mazz, they didn't want to touch
it. No, they didn't want
right?
to touch
and you know why? Because they're probably smart. And this guy, you know, he probably – I don't know him at all, but – hey, thank you. I just want to say thank you. And this is what I'm talking about. When you know you're getting under their skin, and I do think this move is going to get under their skin eventually.
Well, they have now this is going to be stiff competition.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And they can't just default, oh, we don't want to talk about it. Well, when these guys in both time slots start taking big chunks of change away from their ratings, then you'll see them do what Jim Murray did, which is, hey, you know what? We are actually sensitive about this, and we actually have to respond. And good. That's what we want. That Murray thing was just the tip of the iceberg for me, which was
Jim.
Which was okay. You aren't being funny. You know, you say I suck. You know, I can't talk. Like, what is new to that? Like, everybody says that. Okay, that's fine. But what you did, you gave us a gift because you showed that over there, you are worried. You are thin-skinned. And thank you, because that's just the beginning. Because they're going to start reacting more and more and more, because the ratings are going to be cut into more and more with this change.
It will. 617-779-7937. Let's do a free-for-all Friday, whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about OMF moving to afternoon drive. You want to talk about Dale and Keith moving to middays. Rob Bradford's now sort of a rivalry there with
nah.
I
stand by my statement, which is that show sucks. So what's the big deal? There you go. Thank you.
You know what's
right
weird? Can I tell you this? I've never seen this side of you. That someone that's going to, you know, throw off the gloves and get going. I've never seen Rob Brad, like, full Darth Vader Bradford.
What have you seen me? I mean, Tampa press box?
I mean, no,
like,
but it's like
at Nesson? I'm like, what am I going to do? Go storming in there and say, you know, Adam Pellerin, I think you suck. No, I don't think that. I love Adam Pellerin. I love the people over there. All nice people. So, yeah, so when else would you see me?
Right, no, but I've never seen you sort of go like, you know, you just throw the gloves down, let's go, like Howard Stern
it's
radio
just
type.
Truth-telling.
Wow.
It's truth-telling.
No, I will tell you, as much as Glenn Ordway hates me for whatever reason, I have no idea, I do enjoy OMF.
I listen
to it. So yeah. So that tells you, even when a guy who's talking trash about me, if I still listen to his show, then that tells you that they got me. Now, I don't have a meter in the business. I don't have
it's just a matter of time.
Well, no, I don't want to go Bubba the Love Sponge. And nobody here has any idea what that means, but there was a whole Nielsen ratings little
people,
thing.
People who are measuring the ratings carry around meters, like Mutt's ankle bracelet.
Exactly.
Yes.
There you
Same
go.
Same thing.
All right, we want to get to the Dolphins anthem policy. Also, there's a lot of other things we want to get to, but especially that. And, you know, Rob, the ratings in Essen this year are up over 20% for the Red Sox. We're very happy about that.
Yes.
But I want to ask, and I want to have this discussion with you, because I will tell you, as much as it resonates on television, it doesn't seem to resonate the same way on radio, unless you're bashing David Price.
No, Ray, you talking about the broadcast? Or
no,
the talk
no,
shows?
No, no, no. I'm not talking about the broadcast. I'm talking about sports talk radio doing shows.
Okay, we can talk about that.
I want to talk about that. No, Joe Kostig, Tim Nevert are fine.
And their ratings are, by the way, the broadcast ratings
they're,
are great.
Listen, the broadcasts are great. Dave O'Brien, Dennis Eckersley, Jerry Remy, ratings are
great. Well, even if they weren't great, which the ratings are up.
They are. That's what I'm saying.
This comes back to all the things that we're talking about, Mark. It's a results business, right?
That's it.
It is a results business.
And the Red Sox this year are more likable than they were a year ago.
And it's not true.
Yes, it is true.
Well,
minus John Farrell.
Yeah, no,
Hanley.
That's fair. The likability conversation went out the window. Yeah, because they're also 38 games over 500. That helps.
Well, it does help.
Chicken or egg. You know, it's like.
But you had back-to-back division winners, and it just seemed like the one word that you heard used to depict this team a year ago was unlikable by a lot of critics.
Well, what was defining last year was the Machado-Pedroia thing. It was the
Price-Eckersley
thing. Yeah. I mean, those two things.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote about this today, which is this whole idea. I cringed in spring training when they all got up there and said, we're going to have more fun. Well, that's great. Well, you just won 93 wins back-to-back years. You won the division title back-to-back years. I don't care if you have fun or not. It's a results business. But so it was worth it to me to look into it and say, is this a result? Is this 38 games over 500 a result of these guys maybe, I hate saying having fun, but that's the only way you can say it. Of being more likable, of being a little putting their guard down a little bit more, of wanting to come to work a little bit more. Is that a product of it? There is a different vibe with this team. And I do think that with ratings, maybe that's translated.
You know what else is different from this year than last year?
What?
The minus wash or win dance repeat.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. It was it got to the point where I think a lot of people were after 93 wins was like, okay, not doing that. I'm telling you, it's more likable now. It just is
more. You think that they're more likable because they don't do that?
No,
I think the critics, no one cares.
I think the critics could not stand that last year.
You are a hater.
But the critics, when you're talking about when you're talking about selling tickets,
yeah,
like the people who like that are the people they're who are buying the tickets.
You really think people bought tickets to see Wayne Dancer Pete?
No, I don't.
Okay,
but I'm saying you're saying the critics didn't like it. Well, you think that people weren't going to games or watching the games because they're like, oh, my goodness,
no.
I can't watch Wind Dance and Repeat. I mean, no.
That wasn't the reason, but I'm just telling you, when you talk about more likable, Alex Cora over John Farrell. No Wind
Dance. So you traded Alex Cora for a little dance at the end of the game.
No. Alex Cora over John Farrell, that's 2018 check. No Wind Dance Repeat over Wind Dance Repeat, 2018 check. No Hanley.
Overvaluing, overrating this whole dance they did at the end of games. Nobody cares.
617-779-7937. Bradford and James in for OMF. Free for All Friday. We will take your phone calls next.
Back to Glenn, Lou, and Christian. It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, I think that's good. I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but still, I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. Well, you shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe you shouldn't be in the country. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. And the NFL owners did the right thing if that's what they've done.
That was the leader of the free world, the president of the United States of America, Donald Trump. We are Bradford and James in for OMF here on WEI. And the anthem policy has just gotten even more screwed up, Rob Bradford. According to an AP report, the Dolphins were going to use this discipline of up to a 4-game suspension for any player who protested during the anthem. The report cited a 9-page document that the Dolphins filed with the NFL. So now the NFL and the NFLPA announced they are at a, quote, standstill on anthem rules after the Dolphins report. This whole thing is a complete cluster bleep. And it started when they went to the owners' meetings at some 5-star resort back in February. And they thought, I'm just going to put it upon all 32 NFL owners. And they're going to dole out their own punishment as they see fit. So the Dolphins announced this because they're one of the first teams that's going to have training camp. And now it's like, oh, no, we're at a standstill. Rob, this thing is a joke. How come they can't get it right like the NBA or Major League Baseball?
Well, Major League Baseball doesn't have to worry about it
because right.
Everyone's going to stand regardless.
But I'm saying.
But I think the NBA is a better example. You're right. I mean, this whole idea of, hey, you know what? You can suspend guys for half the season if you really want to is insane. It's insane because all that has to happen. I said this last night. This thing was going away. It was going away. Unfortunately, Donald Trump didn't let it go away, but it was in a Super Bowl. Did we talk about this at all? In the last half of the season, did we talk about this at all? No, no, and no. But it was going away. So Trump resurfaces it. They react to it. They have the policy. But to give the opportunity to the teams to actually suspend these guys multiple games, all that's going to do is say, hey, you know what? You aren't going to tell me what to do, and I'm going to have half the team kneel when none of them would before. And now what are you going to do? You're going to suspend half the team? It is a joke. It's an absolute joke that they can't just say a universal policy like the NBA. Mark, the NBA, you had on Media Day last year, you had the Celtics being asked about this because it was in early October. Jaylen Brown, Kyrie Irving, it was a hot topic. And they're like, oh, maybe we'll do something. Maybe we'll do something. Didn't do anything. You know why I didn't do anything? Because the NBA had it under control. And they had a conversation with the players. They had an agreed-upon thing.
It's in the CBA. It's in the contract.
Both sides are bungling this. Because in May, when they came out with their the NFL came out with their initial ruling on the anthem stuff, the first thing the NFLPA did was say, how come you didn't confer with us? We would have liked to have a conversation. Well, you got to have the conversation. You know how it is, Mark. When these guys don't feel like they're in the conversation, when they feel like they're being told what to do, they're going to amp up the vitriol.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happened here. And Trump, and we can't dance around this. I mean, Trump has
oh, he's playing the NFL like a fiddle right now.
If Trump doesn't surface this, then we are probably where we were at the second half of the year last year, where we aren't talking about it. But because he is, the owners respond because it's a business, it's a bottom line thing. It's just a mess. And I do think, I saw the release last night, I do feel like the encouraging part of that was, all right, we're drawing back. Now we're going to talk to each other about this and get it right. Yeah, we screwed up. The whole thing about whatever team wants to do, the Miami Dolphins, I mean, that was, how dumb is that? Like, all you'd have to do is play that out, right? Play that out.
Well, I go back to this.
You're suspended four games? Everybody's suspended four games.
I go back to this. What was the big thing, Rob, when you talk about the biggest issue 5 or 6 years ago? Do you remember what it was? It was Daniel Snyder refusing to change the name of the Redskins. And just for the record, I will tell you, I am for Daniel Snyder. You know why? Because he owns the team. Mm-hmm. They're not publicly owned. It's his own private entity. He can do whatever he wants. And I got the numbers on polls and the Native Americans, like over 83% of them were not offended. Well, if you want to look for something in anything, you could look for somebody's going to be offended at something. So you know what Daniel Snyder did? He did nothing. He shut the bleep up and it went away. Like you said, at the end of last season, there was less than
nothing.
Nothing. It was dead.
Remember, we would turn on the games, and a lot of them early in the year, who was going to be standing, who was going to be kneeling. That was a big thing. All you have to do is look at the playoffs, look at the Super Bowl. This is the biggest stage. If you want to send a message, don't you do it there? Did one Eagle or did one Patriot, maybe no. one? And if they did.
I think Malcolm Jenkins put his fist right, in the air, okay. If I'm not mistaken.
All right, great. Yeah. You know, good. Malcolm Jenkins did that. He has, okay, fine.
Right.
It didn't get, was that the story? Like, nobody cared. And I've said this multiple times, but part of my problem with those guys initially doing it is I don't feel like a lot of them even knew what they were talking about. I don't even feel like they were standing up for the right things. I don't feel like, I think they were doing it in large part maybe to support their teammates because it was a thing to do. I mean, that is a very, very serious thing. And if you have some thought behind it, if you want to explain yourself, all right, let's have the conversation. But sometimes these guys wouldn't talk about it. Some guys, when they did talk about it, they didn't sound like they knew what they were talking about. That was another big problem. And because of that, Mark, I think that's one of the reasons this drifted away, too, because they're like, it's not that.
Well, here's the thing that gets me about this whole thing. This all started a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, I think, with Colin Kaepernick. Okay, here's a guy who alleges that he's standing up for the oppressed. Then the dude wears a Fidel Castro T-shirt to a press conference in Miami. It might have been before they played the Dolphins, a week before they played the Dolphins. So Armando Salguero of the Miami Herald, whose parents had to flee from Cuba because of Fidel Castro and what he did. If you're going to stand up for the oppressed, then why are you going to wear socks with pigs on them depicting cops? That to me. So Colin Kaepernick is the guy that you're staying behind who's been blackballed from the league, by the way. So this is the guy. None of these guys did this prior to Colin Kaepernick. And then Kaepernick wears a Fidel Castro T-shirt.
Right.
How can you say you're for the standing up for the oppressed and then wear a Fidel Castro T-shirt? That makes no sense.
But Mark, isn't that what we're talking about here? And Kaepernick is the perfect example of this. Yeah, they maybe are standing up for important causes, but they're not doing it in an educated fashion. Like anyone knows, talk to anybody. Like I did the book with Mike Lowell. Mike Lowell's parents from Cuba.
That's right. There's another one. Yeah.
And if people remember when Lowell was playing here, one of the times that everyone thought Castro was dying initially, everyone ran up to Mike Lowell and he said, "I hope he dies." And it became on the front page of the Boston Herald, "I hope he dies." You know why he thought that? Why he felt that way? Because of what Castro did to his family,
That's right.
Castro did to other people's families. So when Kaepernick is doing that, like, you think that he's educated by that? Educated on that topic?
No.
No, he's not.
No. And I got to tell you, if you injected Colin Kaepernick right now with sodium pentothal, truth serum, if he knew the residual effects of his actions and the consequences that have come thereafter with him kneeling and now basically being blackballed from the NFL, there's no way he would have done it. I think he thought, this is something I can do. I can gain more of an audience. And then all of a sudden now, it's like, you're out of the league. I don't think he'll ever play it down the NFL. Now, he can file a collusion lawsuit all he wants against 32 owners and claim collusion and I'm being blackballed, which he is being blackballed. But there's a reason why he's being blackballed. Because each of the 32 owners, except for Green Bay, they're sort of under this nebulous public ownership, but they're not really. They're the outlier in all this. But the 31 other owners, they don't have to sign Rob Bradford, Colin Kaepernick, Mark James, or Tim Tebow if they don't want. If they think Tim Tebow is going to affect their bottom line, they don't have to sign him, period.
You would agree that if Kaepernick was good, that they would have signed him, right?
That's it. Yes.
Right. But it's risk-reward for these guys.
This is
a
guy who got beat out by a guy who looks like Sunshine from Remember the Titans, Blaine Gabbert.
But he was very good. He's a wily lefty. Sunshine.
Well, he was good in the way. Yeah. I think that Blaine Gabbert was good. I'm like, Blaine Gabbert was not good.
No. But it's he was, if he was good, if he was really good, he would have been on a team. It's risk-reward. Why would you have a third-string quarterback be on the team where everyone – it's the same thing when Tim Tebow was playing. People are like, you know, why do we want the headache of this guy?
It's a circus.
Yeah. Every day is a circus. And the Patriots were like, oh, we can deal with it because we have such a strong foundation. Well, he sucked. He was terrible. He was terrible. The worst passing quarterback I've ever seen in exhibition football.
Ever.
It was amazing how bad he was. I like Tim Tebow personally. I like a lot of his causes. He was terrible. But it is risk will reward. And when you're talking about Kaepernick and what he stood for, you're right. If you go back in time, would he have done the same thing?
No.
Because,
hell no.
Because you know why, Mark? Because all of these guys, to me, it's like you can get your message across and doing it in a more reasonable way.
Yeah,
right?
He wants to come across as a martyr who sacrificed his own career. He only sacrificed because all the 32 owners said, we don't want you, period. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on the messed up anthem policy, and we will get to the strife that is still the New England Patriots.
Also,
Bradford and James.
Also, Tom Brady, new Instagram post.
Uh-oh.
Just about a half
There's
hour
a
ago.
Tease. There's a big market tease. Rob Bradford right here on OMF.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
How can you stand for the national anthem of a nation that preaches and propagates freedom and justice for all that is so unjust to so many of the people living there? How can you not be in a rage when you know that you are always at risk of death in the streets or enslavement in the prison system? How can you willingly be blind to the truth of systemic racialized injustice?
This is what I would say to Colin Kaepernick. Mark.
That was Colin Kaepernick, by the way.
This is what I would say to him. As a quarterback, he's good at some things, right? He was good at some things.
He was.
He was good at the read option.
Sure.
Correct?
Yep. He went into in Lambeau Field and beat the Packers in
the
playoffs.
Sure. He's a mobile quarterback. He wasn't that accurate a passer. And so there are some things that he was bad at. Much like this country, there are some things we're good at and some things we're bad at. But we work on the things we're bad at, and we try to make the things we're good at even better. And isn't that what we do as a country? And so that's what would be my response to Colin Kaepernick when he talks about this country, say, how could you do this for this country? Which is, with that understanding, what is wrong with taking 2 minutes, 2 minutes to acknowledge the people via the national anthem, to acknowledge the people who allowed you to speak the way that you're speaking? Like this, all of this is so hypocritical for me. It's easy for him. It's low hanging fruit for him. But when I hear that soundbite, I'm like, this is an easy one to answer. Like, are you kidding me?
Well, it sounded like it was just basically someone gave him that. And he just, because you can tell he didn't really know the material. And let me just tell you this. You know, I'm friends with some professional athletes who are outside of this market. I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. They are black. They said that they said that Colin Kaepernick was raised by a white family in Wisconsin. So he doesn't know about
this. I mean, I don't care about
no,
that.
No, but I mean, like, he's talking about, like, he knows the struggles. But he doesn't know the struggles.
But he can be supportive
that's
of the people
fine.
who are struggling. I mean, he doesn't have to be black. He can be.
That's fine. But then you're going to talk about the oppressed, and you can't wear a Fidel Castro T-shirt.
Right. No, you have to be, when you have this, you have to be able to argue and able to debate and able to support your cause in an educated way. And when you're doing that with things like we just heard in that soundbite, that's, to me, easily picked apart. And he would deny it, but it's easily picked apart. And I think that once to say, and this is his overall tenor, right? It's the country. How can we support this country with all the bad in it? How can we support this for 2 minutes to stand for the national anthem? Well, what about the good? Maybe I'm a glass half full type of guy, Mark.
No,
I don't know.
We live in Boston. We're not glass. We're always glass half
know.
Empty. No, we're glass half empty.
I mean, he's sitting there with if nothing else, he's standing there speaking with the right to do that.
Here's how can you not be in a rage when you know that you are always at risk of death in the streets?
If the people, I think a big part of the people, for me anyway, when you stand for the national anthem, what the national anthem stands for is honoring the people who have fought for this country.
Absolutely.
That's me, right?
I agree with that.
That's me. Well, if we didn't have those people, then, and this isn't hyperbole, this isn't overstating things, then Colin Kaepernick could be living in a Nazi regime right now. I mean, you had people fight against the Nazis. Those are the people who died for this country. And if you agree with it, fine. If you don't, fine. But that is one of the reasons why I think the national anthem's important. And I think a lot of people would agree with me.
And I want to ask the audiences, too, and call in 617-779-7937. How does the NFL fix this broken policy? Because clearly, from now until when the Patriots kick off week one against Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans, something needs to be. And actually, there's a Thursday night game. I think the Eagles play Atlanta to kick off the NFL season. I'm sure they'll have their little stupid red carpet and everything. How does the NFL fix this, Rob? Because this is a situation where the baseball, in terms of players associations, the strongest union in the world. So you're not going to get anything by baseball. The NFLPA, these guys buckled. They buckled and they folded quicker than a cheap tent 7 years ago when it was time to negotiate hardball with the owners. And we're going to go after. And then it was like, oh, you're going to take game checks away from us and you're going to cost us right now. Oh, no, we'll capitulate. We'll bow down. They submitted really quickly. Like they were going up against Brock Lesnar or Daniel Cormier in a UFC fight. They submitted. So now how do they get this thing right? Because the guys who stay in the locker room, everyone's going to be I'm just giving an example. Malcolm Jenkins didn't come out for the national anthem. Oh, this guy didn't come out for the national anthem. He's against this country. So what the NFL tried to do, and they tried to fix it, made it actually worse than the way it was. If they just shut up and they just sort of let
You know what you do? You fine people.
Nothing. That's what they're going to do.
No, but that's what they should have done. They should have said, hey, you know what? You do this. We have our right as a private organization to fine you if you don't do it like the NBA. Right. So you fine. Okay, you get fined and maybe you keep doing it. But I guarantee you if they kept doing it, that it would have happened. The same thing would have happened that happened last year. It would have gone away. Last year was a perfect example of this, Mark, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was going away.
They said there was less than a handful of players standing in week 17 for the national anthem. Less than a handful that were just kneeling during the anthem. And now it's turned into a thing again. And now it becomes this sort of like polarizing issue that the Roger Goodell can't get away from. This right now, as Ray Rice was 4 years ago. It happened after.
Well, because he bungled that.
He bungled that, and he's bungling this right now.
Yeah, and why?
Because, but he makes $44 million a year.
And this speaks to your flake. It was because the ownership. He had to stay on the good grace of the ownership, and he prioritized that over the fan base. And anyone who says otherwise is just wrong, because you had a week before you come out with a Wells report in context, and then a week later you're saying I'm going to let the league handle it. Bob Kraft's going to go like great things, but that was a fact. So they are chasing the bottom line. They are trying to appease the bottom line, much like you mentioned MLB before, much like Rob Manfred did when he said, hey, Mike Trout, you got to be more of a guy. You got to be more of a guy. You got to be more out there. What he's trying to do, Does that make any sense? No. Is he supporting his player? No. What he's trying to do, he's getting worried about the bottom line.
That's it. That's all the NFL. That's all any professional sports owner cares about. If you're affecting their profit margin, you're affecting every. And that's what Steve Bisciotti was going to sign this guy from the Baltimore Ravens last year. Then he took a little litmus test among his season ticket holders. They said, no way. If you do that, we were getting rid of our season tickets. We're never coming to another game. So then I thought, you know, there's one city I could see Kaepernick going to. They're extremely progressive. It's a very liberal city in the PNW, Seattle. And you know who they signed? Austin Davis. Mm. Now, listen, I don't like Colin Kaepernick, but I can tell you that Colin Kaepernick is a better quarterback than Austin freaking Davis. And they wouldn't even sign a guy who's perfect for that system in case anything happens to Russell Wilson. He goes down. Who's the perfect guy who's actually played against them in the NFC title game? So they didn't even sign him.
Yeah, but now, you know, Mark, now you're a year out. So he's out of the game for way too long. And all right, even if you want to say, hey, bring him in, see what he can do, even if he does a workout, it becomes a chaotic thing. It's like why teams don't do Hard Knocks. Like, why would I want to have the chaos, the controversy, the attention? No, it's not happening with Colin Kaepernick. And because it's not happening with Colin Kaepernick, he's not going to be able to get the important parts of his message out because he bungled it the first time.
617-779-7937.
Ooh, what was that? Spicy.
Let's hit Brian in a car who's up here on OMF. What's up, Brian? Brian.
And about the whole Kaepernick situation, sorry. The way I look at it is I had a grandfather who died at 90, World War II vet. And, you know, because of growing up, I always grew up very proud about the anthem. So my personal opinion is I stand for the anthem. I am proud for what they fought for, and I take pride in my country. At the same token, you know, people have the right to do whatever they want, right, in a public setting, right? So you can, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem and you're just attending the game, fine. You don't have to stand for the national anthem. The whole issue I have is, for example, in a public school system, there's this whole thing with the Pledge of Allegiance and kids not wanting to stand for it. And in a public school system, that's totally fine because it's public. They have the right to do that. Now, when you go to like a private school, if they tell you to stand for the national anthem and it's part of the rules and you have to do it, and if you don't do it, you're suspended, well, that's the rule. It's a private school. They can make that rule. Or, for example, religion, right? They don't teach religion in public schools anymore, but if you go to a private school and you're forced to take theory class because that's part of their rules and their curriculum, you can't just say, well, I don't believe in religion. I'm not going to theory class. But no, you signed up for it, and this is what you're paying for by going to the private religious school. So the NFL is a private organization. If they're going to make these rules and they make the decisions that, hey, you got to go out for the national anthem, well, I know it stinks and you can make a roar. You got to go out for the national anthem. It's your job.
But you got it. But boss. Brian, but you're right. But what the NFL has to do, they have to do it in a smart way. And they haven't done it in a smart way. You're right. They have every right to do it. But when they say, hey, teams, whatever you want to do, and a team comes out and say, we want to suspend guys who do it for four games, what's going to happen? You got to figure out this is going to happen where half the team is going to be like, all right, we're going to kneel and you're going to have half the team suspended. So they have to do it in a smart way, even though they have the right to do it.
But can't you, like, as a player, doesn't this give more power to the players of where they want to play? So if your team comes out and makes a rule like that, like,
that's a good point.
Suspension.
I mean, I don't know if it's that important to them. But
you know, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Brian. By the way, there's nothing about your call I disagree with. I think you're right on everything. The one thing I will say is that the NBA gets it right. Why? Because every player has to stay. It's in the CBA. However, if LeBron James wants to bash President Trump on Twitter, he's allowed to do that and not have any repercussions thereafter. Adam Silver allows the players in the NBA freedom of speech because they are their own brand. They are walking corporations all to on themselves, and they can do what they want to do. But the NFL right now, Rob, this thing is bad. And if they don't get this bleep fixed by the time the Eagles and Falcons kick off on that Thursday night when probably Taylor Swift will be playing before the game or whatever, they do this whole red carpet thing, which I'm sure Walter Payton is rolling over in his grave. That's what the NFL does now. It's become this event. Then this is going to continue. And we're going to take more phone calls on this. 617-779-7937. Free for all Friday on OMF, Bradford and Jay.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.